Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
If you want to make an entrance, bring the sabor with new Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. A mouth-watering mix of authentic Mexican beer, bold strawberry flavor, and a hint of spice. With great taste bursting out of every can. So bring something sweet to your next barbecue or bring a little spice to Sunday's brunch. Bring refreshing strawberry flavor to any fiesta with new Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. Bring the sabor. Drink responsibly. Modelo Chelada flavored beers. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Famous actress Rachel Lee Cook is going to join us. We'll do the news as well. Get into a surprise story about a man show party bus corroborated by her boyfriend. Very interesting twist. News coming also. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
E.T. Fong Hong. E.T. Fong Hong.
If you said E.T. the extraterrestrial.
E.T. Fong Hong. E.T. Fong Hong.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
He's dead nuts on that one. That's probably the best he's ever done. Rachel Lee Cook has joined us. Spirit Halloween, the movie. It's opening in select theaters today, and it's available on VOD October 11th. Good to see you, Rachel Lee Cook.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good to see you.
The subject of Halloween got me thinking that I was in, and I don't know if you guys have been in a Home Depot or Lowe's or some big boxy kind of store.
I have.
And seen the offerings for Halloween.
Oh, the decorations?
Quite
fabulous.
Large.
There are
elaborate
12-foot animatronic giant Frankensteins that have sound pouring out of their mouth and arms moving. It's $23 or $40. I mean, you would have been the king of the neighborhood with just one, and there's 28 of them, and they're all moving. And they're big and they're up. It's nuts.
Did you get one?
Hell no, my kids don't.
You said $20, $30. You can't afford not
to
get it.
Will you guys tell me, or Rachel, you tell me, stuff is too cheap, it's too abundant, there's too much junk. I have too much stuff I cannot throw away. I feel like an ugly American, like getting something and throwing away. So it just piles, and people are like on Amazon going, I'm going to get that drone and the giant Frankenstein. I'm like, oh, it's just more Chinese plastic and some landfill in India crap that's polluting our world.
Agree. It's too much. You didn't like Marie Kondo down your house. You didn't sort of get that bug during quarantine.
Yeah. If it doesn't bring you joy, you must part with it.
Oh, that's Marie Kondo?
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Who's the Asian lady who tells me what to do with my closet?
That's the one.
That's her?
Yeah.
Oh.
Very Asian.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
She's Japanese.
Oh, okay. Here's how I am. If I take a walk most evenings, I have a water bottle, but it's just a water bottle like you'd see thrown away, and then I just go fill it with the tap water, the water bottle water, and I walk with that. I hate the idea of just pulling a new one out and throwing it. We're getting way too casual with that. Too comfortable.
Agreed.
With that.
But how many promotional bottles you have from stuff that you chose the plastic bottle over
the aluminum canteen?
I'm not saying they have lids, but you have them.
The swag world went from, may have started, it started with tote bags, then it went to bathrobes.
Mugs.
And then it went to mugs, and then it went to water bottles.
Yeah.
Ways to transport water.
I didn't get the bathrobe phase. I feel like you're very
fancy. Missed out. You missed out.
Nobody told me about the bathrobe.
Bathrobe, best part of show business.
Did it say ED for the Ellen show, like Ellen DeGeneres on it?
Trying to think.
Erectile dysfunction.
I was like, that would be unfortunate.
I may have had an Oprah bathrobe.
Excuse me?
Got a friend.
I did
may
a show.
Have? Like, I hope you still have it.
Were you one of her favorite things?
No.
Apparently, you probably still do have it.
No. Yeah. No, it was a Dancing with the Stars. I have a Dancing with the Stars bathrobe.
They that's give you a keeper right
they
there.
They give you a nice bathrobe for that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm lousy with robes. So, let's talk. You shot the thing in Georgia, right? An actual... Spirit Halloween store.
Yeah. So. And by the way, I shouldn't let you talk up the paraphernalia at Home Depot. We should say that Spirit Halloween has all of the good things that you need for this holiday.
That's where you go. It's right in the name.
It's right there.
How many months a year is it Spirit Halloween?
I don't have those talking points in front of me, but I'm sure a lot. But yes, we shot the movie in Rome, Georgia, which is really lovely. And recommend it.
There's Athens, a great experience. Georgia, Rome, Georgia?
There's a Rome, Georgia.
Athens, Rome, it's all international.
All the hits.
Is Georgia where you guys go to make movies now? Is it Canada, Georgia, New Mexico?
Us, you mean, okay, don't, like, you've been an actor guy. Don't us me.
I know, but I never... I shoot like TV shows on occasion. I never
and
go
Tyler
to,
Perry, like we're in it. We're in Georgia.
He's
doing it.
Tyler Perry's all up, taken over, right?
Yes, I was not invited over, but one of these days.
Is Georgia? So what is? And maybe we can figure this out. Is it just whoever offers the biggest incentives will get the business for that period until someone else comes in and kind of undercuts them?
I've produced a lot of things. It's whoever's got the most beautiful seasons for what's needed for the story, and this was just perfect for that setting.
Marvel's in Georgia, right?
Don't know. Was not invited.
Nope, got it. I just they're like the place now.
Marvel comic books or Marvel,
all the Marvel
studio.
There,
it's all done in Georgia.
Yeah. A lot of people left though. They were like, no, they're not getting our.
But they won't give the tax money.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a voting rights thing or something, something like that.
Bathrooms? Or was that something else?
No, the Georgia was the voting thing, I think. Because they moved the All-Star game. Yeah.
That might have been North Carolina, too, for the bathrooms.
Yeah, North Carolina's the bathrooms.
God, I can't remember.
The ID thing. All the unobtainable things in life.
Got it.
So then they moved... I guess the scuttlebutt, I think, is they're going to have the All-Star game in Atlanta, right?
There's no baseball team in North Carolina, so of course it would have been Atlanta.
Yeah, they're going to Georgia, and then they said, we're boycotting, and then they moved to Denver. And they moved to Colorado, the Rockies,
I think.
They went to the whitest place in the world, and then all the black small business owners just went, oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Just jacked us out of $2 billion worth of people showing up for the All-Star game. So it always works out.
Yeah. But they forgot to ask you.
They should have asked me how it was going to work out. I would say the same thing. You guys want to punish Chick-fil-A with a boycott? Their sales are going up 187% the second we begin this. So just think about it.
Speaking of shooting things in weird places and weird times, my wife and I are very big Rachel Lee Cook fans.
Oh, thank you.
Because, for obvious reasons, but especially because of your Hallmark Channel movies, just a goddamn delight. I want to know all about them. Where do you shoot them? Is the snow real?
Now, when do you shoot them?
Are you sweating in these pea coats because you're shooting them in June? Well, how do they all work?
I'm not down to be one of the productions that shoots a Christmas movie in June. I'm not signing up for that one. I can bring delight to your household at the Christmas season by shooting in September to the very beginning of nowhere, somewhere with real snow, preferably for budget. Fake snow can add about 100K to any budget, but we do have to do that sometimes.
There
we
is some obviously fake snow in these, and not necessarily in your movies, but in this world.
Yeah, it's fast turnaround. It really is.
Wonderland like overnight.
Are those shot in Canada, a lot of them?
I've made most of the ones that I've done in BC and one in Winnipeg and
I always hear that. I wonder why Canada for that, for the Hallmark stuff.
I feel like this is, we're touching back on a theme here, which is tax incentives in production, which I'm sure everyone at home wants to know more about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Canadian content thing is real. So, yeah, what was the joke on the SNL skit? Like, you know, starring so-and-so and Canadian handsome in Christmas Wonderland. Yeah.
You can hear it in a lot of extras' accents. It's, you know what I mean? Like, the shopkeeper.
He runs out, what's everybody yelling about?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It is, as you say, a delight.
Where are you from?
Minneapolis.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now, I actually, I'm in the Valley. So your hood.
You're San Fernando.
Yeah.
Valley.
Indeed.
Well, we won't give your address, but what city are you in?
Studio.
Oh, that's
we're
good.
We're names. Yeah.
That's
indeed.
Good.
Oh, she's nice. Good. You're in the good part.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that this is how people meet their neighbors?
I know. I know.
She's in NoHo, though, so I don't know if you want to hang out.
Valley Village, excuse you.
I'm tech on the border. Like, oh, okay. I could get mail to either. We can talk about
okay.
it later.
Yeah.
I got Valley Villaged in. I know when that took place because my whole family's from North Hollywood.
About the time when Van Nuys became Lake Balboa. But we can move on. This is a global show.
Yes. Yes. At some point when the neighborhood goes south, instead of actually fixing what's wrong with it, you give it a new name.
We rename it.
Really?
Right. Yeah. So it's like lawn darts are killing kids. Well, call them lawn daisies.
Fun darts.
It's like, or you have to fix them.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you're originally from
Minneapolis.
Yep. You came out here. When did you come out here?
Probably around the same time you did, funny enough.
I was always out here.
Oh, okay. No. Sorry. Exactly. Definitely never mind. It was the mid-90s.
I
had my first apartment in the Valley also in 1996.
Did you come out for a specific project?
When I first came out, I stayed with my then manager at the time at her house. Got also in the Valley now that I think about it. And this does not happen, everyone who's listening to this, but I managed to book the first audition that I went on.
Wow. How did you get a manager when you're still in Minneapolis, or did you come out here and get the manager?
Funny enough, this manager, she was scouting kids in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I had done like a local, like small short film that actually came out really nice. So that whole difficult circle of how to get representation without tape and how to get tape without representation. Mm-hmm. That circle, it's sort of like I was lucky enough to sort of be in and have a good
you
bit
were
of tape.
In your 18, 19 at the time?
No, I was, let me see, when I did that short film, I was 14 and I booked my first role when I was 15. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And how was the family with you picking up and heading out?
They were great with it. My mom traveled with me. I felt bad that I sort of bailed on my little brother a little bit early. I think he, you know, sort of got left behind a lot. There's some funny stories of my dad knocking on his door and being like, Ben, you good? Do you want some, I don't know, soup? What do you, are you okay?
Like 7 a.m., old man.
Yeah, it pretty much was.
Need some hot dish?
So, yeah, but other than that, like, yeah, and I do feel like I missed out on having sort of a typical teenage experience often.
You didn't miss anything.
But really?
I mean, it's fine. It's
yeah,
a
typical
bit of
teenage
I feel like
experiences.
You have some good stories, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, I think we discount what shaped us because I was like, hey, the school sucked or the coach was a bitch or, you know, whatever, my girlfriend dumped me. But maybe that is valuable in terms of making you who you are.
It's, you know what? Now that you put it that way, I totally agree because I was doing some theater in Kansas City. I know, be jealous. And I was getting paid. But I had to drop out because my senior year, I really wanted to be Miss Hannigan and Annie. And everyone's like, why the fuck would you do that? You're getting paid. I'm like, yeah, but I want to be the lead in the high school musical. Like, that's a big deal.
That's the best role in the piece, too. You had to do
it. Thank you.
And you were – I wanted to be Mrs. Garrett in the Facts of Life production at my school. Did you – so you were out in the ninth grade? Or,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty early on.
It was pretty early on. Honestly, I don't think that I could have stuck it out if things hadn't worked out early. I think like the luck of the entertainment business, it's like it's a pay now or pay later thing, and I was definitely lucky up front.
What was your first role that we're speaking of?
Maybe your wife made you watch this as well, or if you have, you wouldn't, your kids wouldn't have been the right age. But my first movie was The Babysitter's Club for Columbia.
Oh, right.
The best set of books that's ever been written.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird to see it like remade as a wonderful show. And yeah, when things that you've done get into remake territory, that's
you know, you made it.
That's a full circle moment that no one was ready for.
And, of course, Josie and the Pussycats. And,
well, she's all that.
She's all that. I mean, she's all that was kind of the big. So you were only 18?
Yeah.
So, she's all that. So that's a lot at 18.
Yeah, definitely a lot. Definitely got to sort of pretend I was having a normal high school experience, like on set, go to a fake prom, not a real one. But I'll take what I can get, you know.
Did you and then what was it? So was your mom out here for that period?
My mom had stopped sort of like, yeah, sort of being part of my mini traveling circus at that point. I was very excited to be independent, as anyone 18 is. And yeah, I was sort of on my own from that point, free to fail it up in my own terms.
And you're out of the manager's place.
Mm-hmm.
You're just independent. Got your own money, doing your own thing.
I had a roommate who was 2 years older than me, which is a big deal when you're a teenager. Because also, she had a fake ID. And
Oh, my God.
So she had basically moved on. But she's wonderful. I'm sure she still is. And yeah, I just kept sort of working. I would jump from show to show, you know, mini friend group to mini friend group. And yeah, just patched together a funny little teenage experience.
Do you have stories about other contemporaries who turned out to be household names that you ran into in these circles at the time?
Well, I'll throw that to you first while I think about it. What about you?
Yeah, are you kidding?
Well, I obviously I met Jimmy Kimmel
when he was working at a radio station.
Molly Ringwald. Oh, I had
what?
Molly Ringwald.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't get me started.
She
lived up the street. Yeah.
What?
I was, yeah. Well, but I wasn't in their I mean, I was friends with them, but we weren't. I wasn't having
a successful. You went to the premiere of Pretty in Pink.
I did, yeah.
I mean,
I love that movie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She's in Dahmer, by the way. She's excellent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, Molly is?
Yeah.
I was, yeah, I was friends with her mom and her dad, and I had a crush on her sister, who was a little bit older than she was, and they lived up the street in NoHo.
Yeah.
Back in the day, in a very miniature little itty bitty ranch style valley house off an alley, just very modest little miniature house.
Huh.
Like if I was in high school and I walked into your house and went, fuck, this is small. It was small because I was used to living in very small houses.
Porch.
And it's a little itty bitty house. And they moved out here from Placerville, California.
Placerville.
Yeah. They moved out for Beth, the sister.
Hmm.
She was the one that was going to be the star.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. And she got some sort of little movie of the week or something, you know, about an all-girl band whose plane crashes on an island.
Oh, dear. I would watch that.
Well, Josie and the Pussycats, you know.
Not dissimilar.
Well, yeah.
You guys and all Adam and Rachel and all these stories are connected by the movie Not Another Teen Movie, which parodies, I believe she's all that, definitely parodies Pretty in Pink. Mm. Like, it kind of ties it all together. Did you ever see that?
I have not seen it.
Oh, you should see it.
I really
find it to be delightful.
Should.
I think it's hilarious.
I'm just like, I don't know that I feel ready to be sent up in the convenience of my own home. Like, I there's enough punishment in this business. I'm good. I'm real good. But
yeah.
It's funny you should mention Molly Ringwald. I just ordered both of her books online. And
wow.
I just finished the first one. Yeah.
Really?
It Could Happen to You, or If It Happened to You, and the other one's, I think, called Getting the Pretty Back. This has also been an ad for Molly Ringwald's writing
awesome.
Career.
Did she drop my name?
Not yet. I'm sure she's going to get around to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she blew up. And her sister's career didn't blow up. And she blew up. So that's something.
And you never went out with a sister?
Little bit.
Okay. You can leave it at that.
A gentleman doesn't talk.
Yeah. Sure.
She liked my friend.
Right.
So that was a disaster.
What friend?
Ken, who she's now married to.
Oh, good for her.
She really liked him.
That really didn't go your way.
Yeah, she dated my friend Ken.
Mm-hmm.
He went off to college. He was a couple years older than we were. He went off. I think he was heartbroken. He wanted to get back together with her. But he went off to college, and she was really the belle of the ball. I mean, beautiful blonde. So she sort of had her pick of the litter, and once he went out of state, you know, she was going to hang out on a Saturday night. So then she dated guys and had her pick of the litter, and then, you know, got married a little bit early, and then got divorced and had a child and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, 25 years later, Ken rolled back.
Oh, Ken's back in town.
With some unfinished business.
Laying low for a while.
And he's a physician now, and they moved on up to one of the Carolinas, and they're married. Last I checked.
So happy for them.
And I mean, could have been 20 years plus that he was gone. Last dated in high school, now physician, and rolls back into town. I mean, Chris, do you have any recollection of this?
Ken was supposed to come to our show in Raleigh. Like, Ken and Beth were supposed to come, but something came up.
Stiff-armed him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back. Yeah.
Back to the Hallmark movies.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry.
The Hallmark
Is there a rivalry with you and, like, the Candace Cameron Bures of the world? Like, do you guys?
She's moved to another network.
What? Oh,
so
good.
We've managed to.
Oh, it's your time.
So
your time has come.
Yeah.
It's you and Lacey Chabert.
She's going to be her every time, though.
You ousted her.
No one oust CCB.
She's got to get rid of that bitch, Lacey Chabert, and it's all you.
Oh, my gosh. She is the most well-liked human being in Hollywood.
God damn.
Really? Yeah. I think that's you.
Thank you.
You seem very friendly.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
We hear all these stories about, like, you know, pitfalls and things like, well, I didn't realize, you know, being on my own was going to be this hard till I was out in the middle of the open water alone.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any of those stories that you're willing to talk about?
Oh, I was definitely.
Hallmark?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I was a lot of places that I should not have been in retrospect, but I mostly wasn't invited to, like, the exciting parties that you guys were probably at. Up was not invited.
Sure.
I think people could tell I'm just, like, not that fun. I'm, like, a little fun. Like,
I don't know. You seem pretty fun.
I'm not, like, 4 a.m. fun.
Yeah.
What are your...
Wait,
why
do you agree with that so fast?
Well, yeah, I'm not either. I was relating.
I relate to that.
What are you into? Hobbies, cooking, pets, building, whatever, remodels, decorating.
I will never remodel again. I know you're from the building world, so you understand the pitfalls of this.
Yes.
I can't cook at all, which is ironic because my mom's a cooking instructor.
Oh, wow. You didn't have to learn to cook.
That's what I thought. But it turns out, like, when you leave, it's harder. Right. I thought I knew how by osmosis. Turns out, no. But right now I'm busy with work with my kids. My kids are my daughter turned 9 yesterday.
Mazel tov.
It's completely insane, and my youngest is 7, so they keep me busy. Oh. And and I've also really sort of pivoted into producing a lot, and that feels really good.
What are you producing?
Movies, primarily. I started doing that actually because of working with the Hallmark Channel. They really empower the people who work with them to get involved creatively.
In some of the credits, that some of the bigger names will be also listed as producers, I assume.
I love how much you know about
this. I'm in. I'm in for the whole thing.
Are you in? So you're not like a – are you Christmas only?
Yeah.
You're a little
bit? 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I want nothing to do with
the
rest
of the
films.
I didn't know if you were a year-rounder.
Unless it's like Autumn in the Vineyard.
Oh, my God.
I'm in that. It's okay if you do.
Any Hanukkah offerings for Gina?
Thank you. Any Purim love?
I don't think that I'm supposed to do that movie. Maybe you can do that movie if they knew what you did with your Miss Hannigan.
Maybe. I like where
if
your head's
knew.
At. You have a sort of Semitic beauty about you. I think you could. I think she
thank
could pull
you.
It off.
They throw a few Hanukkah bones every couple of years.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I am not that chosen of a person.
What's your nationality?
I am half Italian, I think. I actually did one of those genetic tests, and it turns out I'm a little bit less Italian than I thought I was, and a lot more Neanderthal than I'm comfortable with.
I didn't know that was a race.
And
oh,
I'm
there's
not
Neanderthal,
even,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm small and have no sense of direction.
I wonder, what do you think in those tests when you're trying to figure out your heritage? I think a good test, like, there's a kind of a bottom line that I always talk about, which is, like, Gavin Newsom is making excuses about what the hell's going on with California. It's like, how many people are leaving California and how many people are coming to California? And that's a kind of bottom line vote with your feet kind of. That's how you'll know whether it's a restaurant or a state, who's coming in or who's not coming in and or leaving. When you're taking one of those tests, what are you hoping for?
Oh.
Because, look,
come on, Scottish.
I'm half Italian, and I do feel I feel like people are rooting to be a little more Italian.
That's
true.
Oh, so it's going to be a mystery?
Well, you're rooting. Yes, it's a mystery. She just said she's not as Italian as she thought she was.
Yeah, I thought it was a strong 50. Not quite.
Why is that? She just said that.
You have a sense of what your nationalities are, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
but there's always a little something sprinkled in there.
There's
a spice if you want sprinkled on top.
I always go, my mom's side is this, my dad's side is this. And
but
then you have, you know, your dad is from some Slavic country that no one's heard of and never invented a car. That doesn't make a car.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so you want to be from the lands of Ferraris and pizza, you know? And so you'll start going, I kind of hope I'm a little more this than a little more whatever dads are. So I'm just saying, what do you think amongst, you know, the most, I mean, obviously, we're now at the point where everyone has a little bit of everything.
Don't say sort of in them.
I know what people root for. And I was going to bring this up anyway because he's a huge fan of yours. A different former manager of mine. I'm making it sound like I run through him fast. I don't. But his name is Randy James. Shout out, Randy, if you're listening. And he probably is because he's a huge fan of yours. I actually bought him tickets to your show one time.
Wow.
I bought him one of these genetic tests one time as a birthday gift. And so I know what people want to be. He goes, Rachel, I am 3% black.
Yes.
And nice. I am, if possible, even more surprised than Randy about this because
black's up there.
Wow.
He was real excited. By the way, as he should be.
Mm-hmm. Practically, you'd want to be at least part a Native American,
that's
right? For the scholarships and for the
The elder tribesmen parking
can't
at
do
the.
That.
Nope. I mean, but then you can legitimately claim, you know, check the box if you're 18%, you know, Native American.
Do you know what you are?
I've never done the test, but I probably...
You did the test. We all did the test.
Did we?
Years ago, yeah.
No, we did.
That's how I know.
Did we get the results?
I got it from here.
I gave mine away.
Oh, okay.
What'd you find out?
I hope you're sitting down. 99.9% Russian, Polish, Romanian, shtetl Jews.
Yeah.
Poor Jews.
See?
But my mom just did it, and apparently, you know when it says less than 1%?
Yeah.
It showed up less than 1% Italian.
Okay.
So do I get to claim that I'm Italian?
Mm. Yes.
No.
And she has Dupendrins, which comes from the Vikings.
Oh, the hand problem?
Yeah.
Oh,
so you're part Viking, too?
I'm saying yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Yeah. I wonder, like, who are the... It's range, because it's with Italians up there, but blacks up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Inuit.
Yeah. Mm. Is that what it's called now? That used to be an Eskimo?
Eskimo is the bad term. Inuit's the acceptable one.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Oh, it is?
See, we're learning today.
We're going to find out soon.
All right. Well, you want to hang out and do some news with us, Rachel Lee Cook?
Yes, please.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do some of less than 1% Italian genus news right after this.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. You probably know me from TV, or maybe you read my best-selling book and tried one of my amazing cocktails, or maybe you saw me on Broadway. What I can say is following dreams is kind of my thing. But of all the things I'm lucky enough to get to do, the thing that I get asked about the most are my shoes. What's my secret? DSW. DSW is the best place to get all the shoes you need from brands you love. Trust me, I'm obsessed. In fact, I love DSW so much, I've teamed up with them to create a collection of shoes from must-have sandals to super cool sneakers that are guaranteed to get compliments. Because if I've learned anything, it's that if you've got big dreams to follow, you're going to need some really great shoes. Find the shoes of your dreams when you shop my new collection now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you want to make an entrance, bring the sabor with new Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. A mouth-watering mix of authentic Mexican beer, bold strawberry flavor, and a hint of spice. With great taste bursting out of every can. So bring something sweet to your next barbecue or bring a little spice to Sunday's brunch. Bring refreshing strawberry flavor to any fiesta with new Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. Bring the sabor. Drink responsibly. Modelo Chelada flavored beers. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Rest in peace, Coolio, which I didn't think I was going to say today. He has died at the age of 59. TMZ reports that EMTs frantically tried reviving him for like 45 minutes with CPR, but he was pronounced dead. They also say Coolio was at a friend's house late Wednesday afternoon. When he went to the bathroom, he was reportedly in there for quite a while. The friend became concerned, started calling for him. He didn't respond. And the friend went in, and he was laying on the floor. Police didn't find drugs or anything like that. His manager says he had a heart attack.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. We're all freaked out, like, by anyone who doesn't make it to 85. Mm-hmm. But tons of those stories. I think he did a love line back in the day.
I
he must
see that.
Have done it a few times.
Is that Rachel?
Oh. Did you ever do Loveline?
No, I
feels like it would have been around your, you were in the right age,
no,
the right time.
I was, what is that again? Not invited.
Oh, that's
not invited.
That's
hurtful.
Yeah.
We didn't, booking was a little spotty with producer Ryan.
Sure, let's go
there.
With that.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. No, I love Loveline. I think I was, what year did that end?
I stopped doing it in.
Oh, end of 05.
End of 05.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, I did for a decade.
And if Rachel Lee Cook was there, she wouldn't have had you waiting like Pamela Anderson did.
No.
She would have been on time, ready to go.
Pamela made us wait.
Forever.
Pamela made us wait for the TV show.
Right. Oh, right.
All right. Oh, but yeah. Not the few things that are good about radio is they just start.
Yeah.
There's
Move
no
on.
Waiting. If the person's not there, we just start. Pun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coolio did Loveline in 1999, says the internet.
Yeah.
So he shall be missed.
Now, on sort of the other side of this coin, the simplicity of what's on Queen Elizabeth's death certificate, I hesitate to use this word, Adam, but I think it's going to delight you.
Oh, good.
Because, you know, we talk about, you know, oh, he died, he was 97, and what was it, jumping out of a plane, the parachute didn't open. No. On her death certificate, the official cause of death is old age.
Good.
Isn't
we
that
should
nice?
All do that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Usually they'll put, you know, organ failure or cardiac arrest.
Slash COVID.
Exactly.
Yeah, to get that money.
She's 96 years old. She died in Balmoral Castle in Scotland.
You know what that
it
is,
says old age.
That is like when you drive a car, you want to drive it until everything goes on the car simultaneously. Mm-hmm. You don't want the transmission or the clutch.
No.
Or the whatever.
Patch it up.
Just goes bad.
Yeah.
One thing goes bad in the whole car.
Mm-hmm.
That's the early. You just want to keep. She drove her car until the tires,
well
the
driven.
Brakes, the engine, everything was gone.
Blues Brothers style. Just,
old age.
Mm. Yeah.
Every part's bad.
Oh, good for her.
She nailed it.
Yeah,
she really did
nail it.
She did good. We were talking about.
We always do this thing. I think with her, it's like, oh, she had such dignity, you know, and it's like. No, I think she was a regular person by her standards of that day. We're all just insane assholes who go on Southwest flights and cut off sweats and no underpants. It's not
true.
Like she just lived like a normal
she
person.
Right.
She lived how everyone used to live in the 40s and the 50s, and she just kind of kept it going.
Yeah.
We're the ones who started getting the neck tattoos and aggressive piercings and cussing at everyone in airports while we're dragging
she's
our service
the
dogs.
Same place.
Our shit got way out of line. She just stayed normal.
That's right.
But do we think that it ends with her? Like the whole,
we're talking about the family or dignity?
People being staunch royalists.
Well, I mean, her kids have had some issues. Andrew having to say, I don't sweat, so how could I have molested that girl? Not great, you know?
I can't believe I'm finding this out in real time.
Oh, you didn't hear
it?
It's
guys.
A great interview.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. I'm going to look that up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out the sweating part and how that factored in.
If memory serves, like she remembers you were really sweaty that night.
Oh, that's
right. He's like,
right.
Well, that couldn't have been me. I don't sweat.
Yeah. I don't defend pedophiles on a regular basis.
But.
No. But.
Oh.
But.
There's more.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know. I don't do not know if the man committed a crime or not. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
The fact that he was being grilled on camera about being a pedophile and not sweating while wearing a three-piece suit.
That part of the story checks out.
Under the lights.
Yeah, the hot lights.
Suggests. I didn't see that lip beating up.
That's a very good point.
If you are a sweater.
Yeah.
Once the questions start flying about pedophilia.
Yeah.
You're like a fucking rainbird.
That's when it turns on.
That's a really good point.
And he was dry as a bone during the interview.
Wow.
I'm staying all the way out of it.
I'm not saying he didn't do it.
You're
I'm
saying
just
that
saying
part of the story.
That part
that medical condition
out.
Checks out.
I'm not
out.
A sweater.
Understood. Well,
Chris, let's find that clip now.
How do you get that condition? Just for a friend.
I think, didn't he say it had something to do with his military service?
You can also,
remember that?
Yeah, you can also get on chemotherapy. Yeah. Oh, I don't sweat anymore.
Yeah. Wow. You lucky devil. Mm. You're so lucky.
Have you ever seen me sweat?
Never.
No. Nope.
Not a once.
No sweat.
Okay.
I'm that so chemo glad you're does okay. it.
Thanks.
It's a nice byproduct.
Yeah. Brian's so lucky.
That's right.
Well, while he looks for that, let's pivot to another pedophile if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Sir Elton John, not a pedophile, as far as I know, has revealed his feelings about Michael Jackson, and it's getting allegedly. Some attention. It's getting some attention, allegedly. In his new autobiography, Me, Elton John, there are plenty of revelations about his life and show business.
Elton John isn't even his name.
That's right. That's right.
Reginald.
Dwight.
Dwight?
Is it Reg Dwight?
Reggie Joint, Reginald Joint.
Okay. Yeah. Well, among the revelations are his comments about Michael Jackson, whom he calls, quote, mentally ill and a disturbing person to be around. A passage from the book says this. I'd known Michael since he was 13 or 14. He was just the most adorable kid you could imagine. But at some point in the intervening years, he started sequestering himself away from the world, away from reality, the way Elvis Presley did. God knows what was going on in his head, and God knows what prescription drugs he was being pumped full of. But every time I saw him in his later years, I came away thinking that poor guy had totally lost his marbles. And I don't mean that in a lighthearted way. He was genuinely mentally ill, a disturbing person to be around.
Yeah, it checks out.
I think so. He also apparently he had, which I didn't know, like some serious beef with Tina Turner that he gets
Elton
into.
John did?
Yeah. But a story.
Because they're both kind of bitches, you know?
Yeah.
Both
think
divas.
About it. Sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And also, this is probably worth you buying the book. He also talks about a dinner he was at with his very good friend, Princess Diana, and watching Sylvester Stallone and Richard Gere almost come to blows over like her affections.
Over Diana.
Over Princess Diana.
Princess Diana.
That's something you should ask Sly about should you see him again.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like really like grandstanding and peacocking for the lady. Wow.
I found her to be an attractive woman, but I think we built the hype up a little on her, a little about her aesthetic.
Here's the thing.
It was the princess thing.
The princess thing went
really
a long
did
way,
it?
The princess thing.
Her
it's
manner.
Not, the manner, the decorum, the grace, but
she's
also, can we be honest? Can we put our cards on the table? Mm. By British standards?
Oh, that's
you
a homely
did
group.
That.
Wow.
I mean, we're not talking,
for British
we're not talking
no,
about
no.
Hollywood glamour.
That's
we're talking
why
about,
people want to be Italian.
That's exactly right.
But everything you said, the glamour, the class, it's all true. More appealing to maybe the girls and gays of the world than the guys. You know what I mean?
I didn't know.
Not Trump.
I found
Trump
her.
Said that was like the Holy Grail.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know any Joe Sixpack dudes I did construction with that were that ever really
in.
Into
kind
her
of the point.
At all. Yeah,
just,
that's your point.
I think just the grace and the beauty
yeah,
and
right.
the class.
That's
all
wonderful.
Non-factors for this.
She was an outsider in the family.
That's
like,
sure.
Oh, so cool.
Great.
That's right.
She may
yeah.
be. There are women that other women want you to be attracted to. I have a list,
oh,
and then ones they hate. She may be number one. It's most any attractive woman with a really short haircut.
Okay.
They want you to really be in to them. They're usually B cup and below.
Okay.
There's no really big boobed long hair chick that other women are interested in talking guys
right.
into being it.
Or no, the yeah. perennial all-star Helen Mirren.
Yeah. Well,
I think
she's
guys
old,
are into Helen Mirren.
Are they? Are
you yeah, I think so.
It was like
a couple of years.
Anna
right?
Nicole Smith, no one was ever trying to talk
right.
a guy
right.
into being into. We have the clip, by the way, Prince Andrew talking to Emily Maitlis on Newsnight 2019.
She described dancing with you
no.
and you profusely sweating and that she went on to have
there's a slight problem with the sweating because I have a peculiar medical condition, which is that I don't sweat or I didn't sweat at the time, and that was I didn't sweat at the time because I had suffered what I would describe as an overdose of adrenaline in the Falklands War when I was shot at. And I simply, it was almost impossible for me to sweat. And it's only because I have done a number of things in the recent past that I'm starting to be able to do that again. So I'm afraid to say that there's a medical condition that says that it didn't do it. So therefore,
stem cells infected?
A lot of blinking, a lot of stammering. I don't know what happened in the Falklands.
Bone dry. Makeup lady didn't have to slide in there.
No. But yeah, he didn't say like it's because they were putting Agent Orange on us. It was because he had an adrenaline dump, so he lost all he front loaded all of his sweat for the rest of his life.
He's trying to work in a little hero story there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you never hear anyone go, "How come you don't sweat, Steve? Remember that time I got chased by a bear?" Yeah. Well, that was
kicked
it.
Kicked his ass.
The adrenaline dump.
Oh. So literally all your sweat's gone? You don't make sweat anymore?
Remember the time I was working at the convenience store and I got held up by a gangbanger?
Yeah.
No more sweating.
Wow.
Yeah.
I
recommend staging a scare for those who have hyperhidrosis.
You brought up Anna Nicole Smith and you reminded me of an acronym that I was just made aware of. There's something called, because we've talked in the past about how Pamela Anderson, Anna Nicole Smith, is kind of like female impersonator, like so female, larger than life. Sure. You're almost... There is a term called AFAB drag that I was just made aware of. Do you know what it stands for?
No.
Neither do I. No, it's – AFAB. I remember it. A female at birth. So like girls who just put on wigs and costumery now can be considered
drag. Yeah, Dr. Drew used to say that Pam Anderson was a female impersonator, which is a thing, I guess.
Like, hyper female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's kind of, you know, David Hasselhoff, maybe a dude impersonator.
Sure.
I can see that.
Yeah, I think there's bones in that.
Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about Flippy on the show. We love Flippy, I think. He's the little Flippy robot that flips burgers now at White Castle, and like the robotic technology is coming to all of these jobs. But Chipotle wanted to get in on the Flippy action, so they have Chippy.
Oh, they got a Foldy. Right? Like someone's got to make a burrito,
No,
right?
They're not there yet. This is Chippy, and
I'm going to tell my son, who's not an excellent student, you got to focus on burritos,
right?
Not burgers.
Right.
Flippy's going to replace your ass
Flippy's
in 10 minutes,
you,
and there's
no
bargaining with the boss about a raise when you got a fucking robot.
There's
who
no
can
burrito
do it.
Folding robot.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I just bought you 7 years.
Of
use them well.
Employment.
Go down to the Chipotle. Put your hat in your hand. Don't walk right past the McDonald's.
You're very
replaceable.
No, you're absolutely right. So the burrito chain, and you can watch a little bit of Chippy, said Tuesday that it'll test Chippy, which is an autonomous kitchen assistant, next month in a restaurant in Fountain Valley, California. Chipotle has already tested Chippy's ability to make and season tortilla chips with lime and salt, and apparently does a bang-up job. But it's not just Chippy and Flippy. Starbucks recently unveiled new systems for more efficient...
Bucky!
Making cold brew drinks, brewing drip coffee, serving food. Panera Bread and McDonald's are testing an automated drive-through ordering to cut down on the service time. And, of course, you know, White Castle's already in on Flippy.
This isn't new in the sense that, you know, the Panama Canal is basically dug by hand and a bunch of laborers who got a dollar a day. You know, to dive malaria or something. Like, we used to just give people a dollar a day and tell them to start digging, you know, or chip. We got to tunnel through that mountain.
Bridge.
Yeah, just here's a dollar a day, you know. And then at some point, you know, they unionize and they start making, and we start coming up with innovations.
Right.
It is pretty insane. I mean, I don't want to sound like make you guys feel like you took mushrooms or anything, but I am moving out of one warehouse and moving into another warehouse, and it's got to all be cleared out. And the place is a festoon.
That's good.
With some of the heaviest shit you'll ever see. Just big metal racks with cars bolted on them, and so thousands and thousands of pounds. Just cars that are, you know, can't be pushed or rolled, you know, just the shell of the car, and mixed with equipment of bending sheet metal benders and nibblers and French, English wheels that wish there were Italian wheels for shaping metal stuff. Everything is the biggest, the heaviest. It's like when you see an old piece of 40s, like metalworking equipment, it's 4,000 pounds. You know what I mean? I got one guy in there, Sean, who's ironically a kind of miniature guy, like, you know, 145 pounds, 5 foot 8.5, but he can drive the fuck out of a forklift.
Oh, boy.
And that little guy is just sitting in that forklift. It's a ballet. Just boom, boom, you know, turning around,
huge.
Zipping around, picking up the stuff, moving on, setting it on the trailer, firing up the trailer, dragging the stuff to the other thing, back with the forklift, like unloads. So, like, one guy in his device.
Yeah.
Like aliens.
Right.
Where it's a guy. Now, this, to move this shit without the forklift, without the machine, it'd be 10 guys and mules and dragging it. You know, I mean, I don't even know how you would get it onto the trailer. You couldn't lift it even with 10 guys. Like, there's too much. It's just buzzing around. It's buzzing. So it's like.
It can be done.
It can be done. And it's been done, and it's been around for a while. We just never really got to the little shit. We were building bridges and cranes and skyscrapers and all this equipment. And now we're kind of getting to the point where it's like, that fucking kid's pissed off. He's not getting $25 an hour flipping fucking burgers. What I used to do at McDonald's for $2.85 an hour. Fuck you. We'll get Flippy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Flippy, Chippy, Bucky. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all on their way.
I'm telling you, government, do not try to outsmart businesses. They're so much smarter than you, and they have an incentive. They need to make money. Mm. They're not in the business of extracting money from people and wasting it. They need to make money. So you're going to fucking pass a bill. Is that minimum wage? Should be $24 an hour. Fine.
We'll see.
Hit me up in 3 years and tell me how that's going.
Yeah. Well, there's one place that will never change, and I think that a lot of us take comfort in this. I haven't had it myself, but I do hear good things. If you've ever enjoyed the famous Costco dog and soda for $1.50, you will be enjoying that at that price well into the future. That's the same price it was when Costco rolled out the combo in the 80s. And adjusted for inflation, it should be like $4.25. But no. CFO Richard Galanti says they plan to hold the price on the hot dog and the soda forever. Though Galanti acknowledged that strong sales in other areas have helped buoy Costco's margins, he insists that the combo isn't just a loss leader. He says, at the end of the day, no, I don't think we'll necessarily look to find places where we can harvest margin. Now, the Costco founder, Jim Sinegal, once famously threatened to kill the CEO if they raised the price of the hot dog and soda combo.
That's
the
aggressive.
People love it. Yeah. Over his dead body.
True to your values.
Yeah.
It does, though, speaking of Vinnie Tortorich, it is scary that the worst food in the world for you is almost free by today's standards.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a $1.50 was cheap when I was poor, but it is
free.
It's ostensibly free.
Yeah.
Now, there's no one who can not afford a $1.50.
I would say, but how many times are you going to Costco for hot dogs? But I know there are people that fucking live at Costco.
Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, wasn't he on the cover of the Costco magazine?
At least once.
He made the cover.
Wow.
He made the cover.
That's a big deal for him.
Is he the centerfold?
I'm sure they had like an expose of Jimmy. He probably has a key to Kirkland, Washington.
Wow.
He was very proud when he made that cover.
Good for him.
We used to go to Costco together.
Wow. This is a meta photo. It's a picture of him holding a picture of him with the magazine.
It says hot dog on it.
Oh, my gosh.
I told you.
That's real. That's
awesome.
He
loves Costco. Everybody used to go to Costco back when he was a civilian.
That's awesome.
Do you know, I need a mini small world moment to tell you real quick. My boyfriend was a PA with you guys on The Man Show.
Oh, really?
What? Do you remember Kevin Mann?
Oh, man, we fired that guy's ass day one.
I think he tried to, but apparently he kept showing up.
Let's see. Is he the guy who's the swim coach? Yes, also does a little producing?
Wow. A lot of producing. He's amazing.
Yeah, I don't remember him.
Yeah, Chris apparently just told me you got him very, very lit up on a bus one time.
We did. Oh, yeah. So tell us a story. Oh,
That's most of the story that he remembers.
We got him drunk on a bus?
Oh, yeah, and you tipped him $300.
That had to be Jimmy. Was it?
The collective you.
Oh, okay. Did he go on the bachelor party bus?
He left that part out. I don't know why.
You should call him. I mean,
I think that's what it was.
We've been on buses before.
Oh, yeah.
But if we tipped him,
yes,
you and did. He was a PA,
yeah, and you got him lit up.
Yeah, that
was
meant
this a smoked oyster party.
Probably that meant he wasn't. He wasn't going. He wasn't. We didn't need him for the bachelor party. We needed him to make us drinks on the bus the bachelor party.
Right.
Does that sound right?
That definitely sounds right. I didn't mean to take it away from the.
No,
news.
Please.
So
I can talk about this all day.
Spearmint Rhino in the City of Industry.
I think that was part of it. I can't remember.
Ask him if we got food poisoning on that. Well, there's a famous food poisoning bus story.
With smoked oysters.
Yeah, I mean, like, if your phone's in the...
Do you have
phone
your phone?
On you?
It's in the other room.
Oh, she's too professional.
I'll excuse you for a second.
Totally
go get your phone.
All right.
See if you can get him.
Say nice things about me.
We will. No, no, we will.
In the meantime, he's produced a number of really good documentaries. I think you and I, Adam, may have seen one of his movies at Philip Rosenthal's house. I saw it for sure. Maybe you were there that night. It's called A Band Called Death. Do you remember that? About the black punk band from like 1979?
Yes, yes.
He produced it.
Oh, Rachel's boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's produced a number of really good documentaries.
His name
is Fanboys?
Kevin Mann.
Mann, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Fanboys, the one about...
Yeah, Fanboys is good,
yeah,
and there was one more that I saw.
How does a swim coat... Chris gave me a...
Milius, a really good documentary.
Wow,
sorry.
We like him. You can keep him.
Yes, we like him very much.
Is he coaching or making movies?
Yeah, he's the head coach of the Loyola High School swim team.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, he produces a lot. He produced Legacy that's on Hulu right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's he find time to do both things?
He works, I don't know, he's got 36 hours in a day. I don't know how to put it. He's amazing.
Call, is Kevin, wanna, is his name?
We're calling him
Kevin.
At the party bus.
Legacy's
okay,
really good.
Right,
yeah, just call him and put him on speakerphone, maybe.
You got it.
See if he can.
Yeah. Tell him he's being
answer
recorded.
The,
okay, we'll see if he picks up.
Okay.
Did you see that movie at Phil's house? Because I did. I don't know where else
I
would have seen
it. I can't remember if I did or not. Huh? I think so.
Hi, it's Kevin Mann.
Oh,
sorry. Jesus Christ.
Sorry. He's probably screaming.
Send him a text. Tell him to get the fuck out of the pool. This is important.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to record a voice note when you guys are ready. Three, two, recording.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Kevin. Yeah. Sorry. Adam Carolla. I need to know the official particulars of the party bus and the man show.
They said something about food poisoning?
Yeah, smoked oysters.
Experiment Rhino. Thank you.
So
we took a bus to Havasu, but I don't think he was on that bus. He's talking about a big party bus. He was a PA.
Yes, he was a PA.
So he would have been on to tend to our needs.
Yeah, apparently you guys hazed him pretty good in the beginning.
That's part of the fun.
Sounds like us. But he got lit, so he was getting high on our own supply, right?
I don't know.
Sounds like it.
I think he was, yeah, I think it was just mostly.
Ate some bad clam chowder, went to Spearmint Rhino. I mean, if anyone wants to do, my daughter ate something and then like threw up and then said she got food poisoning, but she threw up 10 minutes after she ate it.
Oh, no.
And I've had food poisoning a couple times. And it varies, but it's about 8 to 10 hours after you eat whatever it is you eat. If you eat something, it may not agree with you, but the food poisoning takes a while. We did lunch 2 p.m. and poisoned ourselves, and it was really midnight to 2 a.m. when it kicked in. So it was 10 to 12 hours later.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Don't talk about food, bitch. Yeah. Yeah, if he was on that bus, what he would have experienced is we ate at the man show, we ate smoked oyster or smoked clam chowder.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked. If that's him calling, we'll have to get him
up.
It's all right. I said to Jimmy, there's something wrong with this. It tastes bad. Jimmy, who knows everything, even if he doesn't on occasion... So that's because they're smoked.
Yeah.
I love the idea of a smoked clam chowder.
Sounds
so I
good.
Went, all
sounds
right, I'll try. Cook. I'll try more. Yeah. And I'd bite it, and I just had a peculiar tasted off, not smoked, but like off. And I said, I don't think. And he said, this is, you know. And we ate it, and everyone ate it. And then we finished taping the man show. It was about 6, 7 o'clock, and we got on the party bus.
Oh, no.
And everyone's feeling good about themselves
at
that point. And, you know, beers and booze and everything, and went to the Spearmint Rhino. And one of our line producers, Doug, announced that he was going to hop a train to get home. But I think he was loaded, but he climbed a fence and went onto a rail yard to get back. So I think we may have lost
like a hobo kind of hop a train?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we may have lost him. Okay.
And it's that a couple of guys like at the Spearman Rhino at like midnight, like mid lap dance, were like, oh, hold on, I got to use the bathroom.
easy
on the grinding. And they're like getting up, like going to the bathroom. And the other guys that weren't suffering are like, I don't know what's wrong with that guy. But by the time we got back on the bus at about 1:30, it had kicked in for everyone. It was like, oh, God, my stomach. And by the time we pulled into the Man Show parking lot back in Hollywood Center Studio at 2:30, the door opened and people like someone said there was a bomb on the bus. Like people were crying. And they were like crapping and throwing up like into flower beds and stuff. I mean, everyone was just completely poisoned by this.
I think you might have, Kevin.
Oh, you have?
Babe, do you remember any of this?
Do I remember what?
Do you remember any of the story about the bus to the City of Industry and a Spearman Rhino?
No, I wasn't invited on that trip.
Oh. Spared.
Well, Kevin, what trip did you do the bus drinks on?
Down to it was DeLuca's famous Wheels Up 4 a.m.
Oh, you went to Havasu?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You must have liked him.
Hey, buddy, whatever you saw on that bus, dude. That's
the good thing for you is I don't remember anything because I blacked out.
Okay, all right, because that stays on the bus.
Dies on that bus.
Jimmy tried to very nicely wake me up so I would go to the hotel. Apparently, I had very different plans. You guys left. You left the bus on and kept me in there all night. DeLuca found me at like 6 in the morning and was like, "Buddy,
DeLuca,
go pick up some alcohol."
DeLuca.
I was in so much pain and I had to go alcohol shopping.
That's so mean.
Yeah, because DeLuca was like, "We're going to Pahrump. Wheels up."
Wheels up, 4 a.m.
4 a.m. Wheels up. He was like yelling at everyone.
After last night, I'm waking up nobody.
Yeah.
Why Pahrump?
I'm trying to hold on to my $50.
Four houses. I don't know why Pahrump, but
he
wanted to go to Pahrump, and he kept yelling, wheels up, 4 a.m.
Wheels up. It was like 7 a.m. I was like, Doug, 4 a.m. was 3 hours ago.
Well, he kept his momentum going for a long time on Wheels Up.
Did you go to Pahrump?
No, we were shooting. In Lake Havasu.
It was like a Boys Gone Wild shoot. So we would throw beads at guys to show us their junk.
Yes, this was the Boys Gone Wild trip.
That was my bit.
Very classy.
Everyone hated it, but yeah. We did.
It was fun.
Did you do that, babe?
Did I show my junk for beads?
I'm just asking.
No, I know. I was working.
That's in the director's cut.
I'm just kidding.
I was on a jet ski going from pontoon boat to pontoon boat hustling.
Oh, you love jet skis. Sorry. I like you guys.
Kevin.
Are you working? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Was everyone nice?
What's that?
Was Jimmy nice? Was I nice?
You guys were amazing. Yeah, you guys were awesome.
We were nice.
I had like a pocket full of cash. It was great. I was packed out for 3 days, but you guys were. I felt like chosen PA. Like in the middle of one of your tapings, DeLuca was like, "Take your shitty Cherokee and go to Greenblatt's and buy as much food and alcohol as you can, and go get on the bus and don't tell anyone you're coming with us." Great. It sounds amazing.
Doug DeLuca's the guy who decided to hop the train back from Spearman Rhino. Okay. By the way, he liked to have a good time.
Yeah, I didn't get the Spearman Rhino invite. I would have absolutely obliged, but I didn't get the nod.
Dodged a bullet.
How fast did you pass out on the Havasu bus? Because that may be why I didn't remember you on that run.
I bartended the whole time. Apparently, like Widener. I forget who else. Maybe Shrifty said that I made it pretty late, but I was just doing a shot with, like, I would make you a drink, and then you'd be like, "Do a drink with me." And I was like, "Of course." So then I was like, 30 drinks later, I was not awake.
He's a really good stand-up PA.
Wow, that's like good PAing. And look at you. You've parlayed into an amazing coaching career.
Yeah.
Or documentarian, I should say.
We're so proud of you.
Trying to make you guys happy. I can't keep up with Fogelman and Jody Hill, but I'll do my own thing over here.
Wow, that is I had two bus rides in my mind, but Havasu was such a small core group that I didn't have Kevin on that one. I had him on the big party bus.
You need someone to do the booze run.
Yeah,
I was the like lowest hanging fruit young guy that would just say yes.
Aww. It worked.
No, you guys were great to me. Jimmy was always great. You were great. Doug Widener, all those guys. Everyone's been great.
Yeah, it was.
It was 20 years ago now.
Wow.
It was. Yeah. I mean,
I used to drive you home.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was funny. At the very end of my run, I ended up getting fired. I don't know. Rachel can probably tell you the story, but
I don't know.
I got fired because Jimmy wanted me to drive the van into this parking garage that was too tall. Mm-hmm. I scraped the top of the van, and he's like, "Don't tell anyone. Just return it." And I got fired the next day.
Oh,
and
no.
That's when my cousin Sal and all those guys rallied around me and got me a job over at the TV Guide channel at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Company. Stone Stanley was not super stoked about my...
We wouldn't have fired you, but Stone Stanley would have fired you.
That's good...
You guys are amazing.
That's a really good mob move. Like, don't sing to the cops. We will take care of you.
Yes,
yeah,
totally.
I like that.
I felt very good, fellas. Like, I was coming out of, like, the court, and like, you popped your cherry.
That's right.
Like, okay, cool.
That's right.
And you drove me home?
I drove... Yeah, you would show me all your boxing shit. Yeah.
Oh God! I'm trying to think. Was it because I was drinking at an after party or something, car?
I would just drive you home from work sometimes. Jimmy too.
Wow, huh.
Grooming. That was a while ago.
That's nice.
Grooming him.
Right. He turned out so good, you guys.
I think the last time I ran into you guys, I ran into you and Jimmy and Daniel at Soho House. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah, with that old hot girlfriend of yours. Yeah, I miss her.
Oh, my God.
We're losing. You're breaking up.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, he doesn't remember me, but he remembers the supposed hot girlfriend.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Love you, babe.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Oh, my God. He's so cute.
He did the Havasu run.
That's so funny. Yeah,
so.
That was a crazed trip.
And he's not bitter about it at all. He's like, no, you guys were nice guys. I was a PA. What are you
going
to do?
Doug was out of his mind the entire...
He's out of his mind most of the time. I met really? The man a handful of occasions.
He was really out of his mind on that trip.
What's his vibe now?
He's not nearly as out of his mind.
Okay.
He's a good... We like Doug. The problem is Doug and Daniel would go next level.
Yeah.
And then at some point, like, I'd have to go to bed because I had to shoot all day. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, what are you pussing out? Like, we're partying. And I'd like, I have to get some sleep because I'm going to be on camera all day. And, yeah, the only time, well, probably a handful of times, but we're Jimmy. The only time I saw Jimmy freak out on someone is when we were shooting best of wraparounds in Puerto Vallarta, and it was like 110 degrees. It was like Puerto Vallarta, and me and Jimmy had like the makeup on and the hats and the sombrero and the shirts, and we were like shooting something with the fox and a donkey or whatever. And Daniel was directing from the pool. And he was like, he was floating in the pool and like Trunks with a drink in his hand. And he'd be like, "Hey, buddy, try it again. Look, I wasn't feeling it." And even DeLuca would be floating in the pool or doing body shots off of somebody or something and directing. And at some point, the heat got to Jimmy and he went off on him. But he wanted us to go party every night. And we were like, We got a 7 a.m. call that we have to be at. So yeah.
We really do.
But the bus was pretty epic, as I recall. And it's funny. See, you yell "Wheels up" 4 a.m. and 20 plus years later, your man. I remember where I was when I heard "Wheels up" 4 a.m.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I'm so glad we got to that. If you would have said that off the air, I would have been so upset. This is great.
Had to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bring it home, Gina.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Doug, it's 7 a.m. We can't do "Wheels Up" at 4 a.m. It's past 4 a.m. Hey, I want to go to prom.
Okay.
Didn't know what was waiting for us there, but he wanted to hijack that bus, get us all into it, keep the party going, and go to prom. That was his.
Sounds fun.
That was his goal. Yes. All right. You can go to visit. Is it haven.la is where we go for K for Kevin's film projects. Chris is writing on the screen here.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Right. Yeah, make some good docs.
Check out A Band Called Death. That's a really good documentary. Totally.
All right.
Also, hashtag Spirit Halloween, I'm supposed to tell.
Oh, say it again.
Spirit Halloween. Spirit Halloween.
There.
Spirit Halloween.
Yes. In theaters today and or available on VOD October 11th.
October 11th. Rachel Lee Cook, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was fun.
Vinny, that was so fun. Thank you.
Vinny Tortorich, Beyond Impossible. I'm going to be at the Hollywood Improv October 19th with stand-ups. And go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Vinny Tortorich. Rachel Lee Cook, Gina Grad, Bo Bryan, say it. Mahalo.
Ben, you good? Do you want some, I don't know, soup?
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available wherever you get finer books. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And you can leave us a voicemail at... Oh, that's already said that. You can get tickets. How about get some tickets to CEAs, man? You can get them now at AdamCarolla.com. There we go.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.
Bring the sabor with new Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. A mouth-watering mix of authentic Mexican beer, bold strawberry flavor, and a hint of spice. New Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. Bring the sabor. Drink responsibly. Modelo Chelada flavored beers. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.